This podcast is brought to you by Hyundai's iSale. Great drive-away deals, plus a $1,000 factory bonus on selected models. Only at the Hyundai iSale. But hurry, the Hyundai iSale must end soon.
As I mentioned yesterday, this is either ignorance or duplicity. Most probably both. The New South Wales Planning Assessment Commission has approved Infigen Energy's proposed $200 million 33-turbine wind farm near Wellington in the central west of New South Wales. This is the guts of it. The Commission dismissed even the possibility of adverse health effects from turbine noise. It argued that New South Wales Health, quote, was very clear in its advice. There is no published scientific evidence to link wind turbines with adverse health effects, unquote. And then this unelected mob, the Planning Assessment Commission, conceded that noise from wind turbines, quote, may cause some disturbance to people living within 700 metres of them. But it said the planned 2-kilometre buffer zone around the Bodangora wind farm was, quote, highly conservative and demonstrated a very precautionary approach. Needless to say, Infigen Energy's development manager Frank Boland said the Commission's decision, quote, not only gives us comfort, but also should give comfort to anyone with health concerns about the project. Well, Mr. Boland, if there is no scientific evidence to link wind turbines with adverse health effects, put a couple outside your house. Put these wind turbines in Macquarie Street. Put them in Parramatta Road. There are any number of research papers, including by world-renowned expert Neil Kelly, that I've read which highlight the dangers of low-frequency noise to human health. Not a voice in this country is raised in defence of human health. Whoever in New South Wales Health claims there is no published scientific evidence against wind farms should be sacked today. Simple as that. Remember I read to you yesterday from a lady in Victoria. Just imagine, this could be you, any of us, just by accident of where she lives. She communicates with me regularly, I think only because it provides a therapy. No one else is prepared to listen to her. This is the disgraceful MacArthur wind farm in Victoria. She wrote to me yesterday, Alan, the infrasound at our property in the paddocks and in our home is unbearable. And truth be known, the house is so saturated with infrasound day and night, it really is too dangerous to be living here. And then Anne documented to me a horrendous night with no sleep, head, ears killing me, but awful nausea also, shocking infrasound, pressure in teeth, jaw, nose, vibration through the floor, ear pain excruciating, inside our home just unbelievable, head, ear pressure. Quite frankly, these people putting these wind farms up and causing that emotional trauma to innocent Australian citizens should be in the dock. It's made worse because Tony Abbott's energy shadow minister, who'll most probably be the energy minister by the weekend, this Ian McFarlane, refuses to give a commitment that he'll get independent health and acoustic research done on wind farming. Now, this stuff can only survive heavily subsidised by you. No one has faith in McFarlane. Here's a listener, wrote to me, quote, we're extremely concerned that if McFarlane remains energy minister, he'll not expedite this research because of his observed extremely close connections with the wind industry, especially, and they named a bloke, I'll come to him in a moment, who's the government relations person from Infigen, formerly Babcock and Brown, and who we suspect assisted McFarlane with drafting the original legislation which set up the whole scheme. Well, the bloke they're talking about is one Jonathan Upson, UPSON, who apparently was out in New South Wales near Orange and Blaney recently, saying that if the coalition get in, quote, nothing will change with respect to wind energy. Got news for you. Wouldn't this be nice to have read about you, quote, which deepens our concern that we cannot trust the coalition on this particular issue, especially if McFarlane and Hunt are in their current portfolios. Both have a track record of dirty double dealing on the issue, pretending they're concerned but then doing nothing or actively sabotaging the efforts of others within the coalition to progress matters, Albie Schultz in particular. Wrote the listener, I understand a promise was made to Albie Schultz by McFarlane that the bill, this is a bill proposing, simple bill, to wind turbine health research, recommended by the Senate over 2 years ago as a priority when there was an inquiry into the consequences of this wind farming. The Labor and the Greens, forget them, they're rubbish. They've done nothing since the Senate inquiry 2 years ago, chaired by, I might add, by a Green senator, and it proposed the research as a priority. The letter to me said, I understand a promise was made to Albie by McFarlane that the bill would be introduced by McFarlane which dealt with this research. Albie, this is Albie Schultz, got sick, Albie got cancer, and couldn't follow through introducing the bill as he wanted to, and so it didn't happen before the end of the last parliament. Albie's no longer there to keep them honest in the next parliament, and there are too many others in the ranks of the coalition who either have a vested interest themselves or who, for whatever reason, will not drive this health research issue. Well, here's your chance, Ian McFarlane. Honour the promise. Because I'll tell you what, if you get the portfolio come Saturday night, life's going to be very, very difficult for you. And if you think you can do as you like and ignore the electorate and ignore your constituents as you've done on the Darling Downs over the Wagner Airport, and I'll come to that later in the program, I'm here to serve notice that the public won't cop it. And this wind farm charade has to end. But back to this rubbish that there's no published scientific evidence to link wind turbines, I'm grateful to Graham Lloyd, who wrote a piece brilliantly in the Australian newspaper last July. He called it a global scandal that the wind industry and acousticians, acoustics people who work for it, know about the problems of wind vis-à-vis health and have been trying to hide them. As Graham Lloyd pointed out, this is James Hardy, thalidomide, big tobacco, asbestos all over again. The wind industry and the US government have known what is causing people's illnesses near wind turbines for years because of the research done by Neil Kelly and his team. The results were ignored in terms of the prevention of suffering. As Graham Lloyd wrote in July this year, health impacts caused by low-frequency noise from wind turbines have been known to US researchers and the renewable energy industry for more than 25 years. He said American researchers used mock homes, big speakers and 7 volunteers to simulate and measure the impact of low-frequency noise produced by early model two-blade wind turbines under controlled conditions. That's why a federal Senate inquiry recommended 2 years ago that in-house testing be conducted in Australia. So, Mr. McFarlane, why not get independent health and acoustics research done, as recommended by the Senate over 2 years ago, as a priority? Well, Dr. Paul D. Schomer has a PhD in electrical engineering acoustics from the University of Illinois. He's an American expert, and he presented a paper at the 5th International Conference on Wind Turbine Noise in Denver, Colorado, only days ago, the 28th to the 30th of August. The paper was titled "A Proposed Theory to Explain Some Adverse Physiological Effects of the Infrasonic Emissions at Some Wind Farm Sites." Now, there are people listening to me right now who wake up to this every day. This is coal seam gas, wind farm. You see, this is a global warming thing. We're so bent on demonising coal-fired power that we'll have renewable energy at any price. And don't worry about public health. Well, Stephen Cooper is not an anti-wind farm advocate. He doesn't get into that. He's an acoustic engineer. I've spoken to him before. And just to assist in his explanation, they have in these industrial noise guidelines a concept called an annoyance, it's called. It has a special meaning in acoustics. It includes adverse health effects, both physiological and psychological, including sleep disturbance, sleep deprivation, anxiety and stress. And Stephen Cooper was requested a year and a half ago to undertake a peer review of acoustic assessment in relation to a proposed wind farm in central New South Wales. He found there was actually no assessment at all of the impact, so he couldn't peer review it. There was no assessment. There is nothing to advise the residents about. He found there were a number of wind farms in Australia subject to complaints from residents on the basis of noise disturbance. Now, it's very technical stuff, but you can't just throw wind farms out there and ignore the objections and pretend that people are making this up. So let's take the downside, because the last time I spoke to Stephen Cooper, he said that there's, quote, a lack of scientific evidence to prove that wind farm operations don't create health impacts. A lack of scientific evidence. In other words, the appropriate scientific studies haven't been undertaken. Well, Stephen Cooper spent last weekend in the United States with this Dr. Paul D. Schomer, and he's on the line. Stephen Cooper, good morning.
Good morning, Alan.
The people listening, thank you for your time, by the way. The people listening to this broadcast don't know what we're talking about because they don't hear the wind turbine sound. Noise annoyance is not an issue to them, but you're aware that it's an issue.
Yes, I think in the first instance, there's a matter of semantics. And when you deal with noise as inaudible noise, they use a descriptor such as you would measure an air conditioner or a lawnmower, and that's called a DBA. And the criteria is expressed using that parameter.
Hmm.
The problem that occurs is that it has a filter that doesn't measure any of this low frequency or the infrasound, which is very low sound energy.
Hmm.
So if you use numbers or criteria that doesn't even address the issue, then you'll never find a problem.
Infrasound, if I could use it, correct me if I'm wrong here, it's like having all the doors and windows of your house closed, but there's a truck going past the street outside on a bumpy road all the time, and that's that low, whirring sound that they have to cop. You found in your work, didn't you, that there are communities around Australia impacted by wind farms?
Yes, and plenty of other researchers around the world have found the same thing, and they've found a typical pattern which is associated with the very, very low speed, and it's not what you hear, in actual fact, it's what people perceive, and that's what the work of Dr. Kelly and his team back in the late 70s, early 80s found with this special turbine that was an experimental one.
But you see, New South Wales Health are saying there is no published scientific evidence to link wind turbines with adverse health effects. I suppose in a way they're right. No one's actually done the research.
Correct. Not here in Australia.
No. How frightening that you could say that, though. Well, shouldn't they be saying there is no research, no research has been done? The precautionary principle would suggest, well, we better do the research before we approve the farm.
That's correct, and that's where the important thing of the Surrey report, Dr. Kelly's report, that surfaced a few months ago, confirms the results that other acousticians and Adelaide University have been finding in this low-frequency area. They've been relating this energy to annoyance, people have been perceiving it, and I was doing work at the Waterloo Wind Farm.
In South Australia, yep.
The results.
Yep. The most common complaint from a community concerning wind farms is related to sleep disturbance. But with continual sleep disturbance, other health effects come into play, don't they?
That's correct.
So you said to me last time, separation, if we're going to have these bloody things, and I don't think we should because they're very, very, very expensive in terms of the energy they produce and are only producing about 0.1% of Australian energy, but devastating communities. But if we're going to have them, separation distances have to be increased.
Correct.
And you said to me the last time we spoke, and I'll quote your words, an applicant or wind farm operator should be required to guarantee that there'll be no adverse noise effects, no offensive noise, no sleep disturbance, and no adverse health effects if the subject wind farm is to proceed. Now, that doesn't happen, does it?
Correct.
You were with Dr. Paul Shomer, weren't you? And amongst the points he made included the fact that for at least four decades there have been reports in scientific literature of people being made ill by low-frequency sound and infrasound. And Shomer said that in the last several years there have been an increasing number of such reports with respect to wind turbines, which correspond, obviously, to their wind turbines becoming more prevalent.
Correct. A lot of the early work had problems with things like gas-fired power stations, boilers, large industrial plants that at some occasions gave rise to this very low frequency energy. And the issue of wind turbines is that they have a continuous generation of this very low frequency energy, which has therefore highlighted the problem. And Dr. Shomer was calling for some relatively simple experiments to show that people can tell the energy exists without seeing the turbines.
There
are plenty of cases in Australia where there are residents that can tell you the turbines are operating or not because they feel it. They don't have to see it.
That's it.
They don't hear it.
That's it.
But they can sense it. And what happens is they sense it in their homes. The criteria that is used, including the New South Wales proposed criteria, are all outside. And what happens is that measuring inside is entirely different because the building can react. Just as you use the example of a truck causing a house to vibrate, then the energy that is coming from these turbines was shown back in the 70s to excite buildings into a vibration which you cannot hear, but in some cases people can feel it. And it's not everybody that feels it. It is some people.
This is frightening. This is frightening. This is frightening. The New South Wales Planning Assessment Commission has approved a $200 million 33-turbine wind farm near Wellington in the central west of New South Wales. They dismissed even the possibility of adverse health effects from turbine noise, and they argued that New South Wales Health, quote, was very clear in its advice. There is no published scientific evidence to link wind turbines with adverse health effects. Can you get anything more irresponsible than that?
I don't think I'm permitted to give an answer.
You're not, most probably. But a Senate inquiry... you're funny. A Senate inquiry 2 years ago recommended that we do this wind turbine health research. Nothing's been done.
Correct.
And so... where do we... there are people listening to you now. What do they say? They can't get anyone to take any notice of them.
That's correct. The method of assessment for compliance, even in a noise basis, is questionable and can't be done by the community without information from the operation of the turbine.
That's right.
They will not release.
No. So you don't,
so
you can't get the data.
You're in a catch-22.
You can't get the data.
As to what's going on.
You told me last time that the appropriate scientific studies haven't been undertaken. You can't get any simpler than that.
Correct.
Doesn't the precautionary principle say that we then should stop this wind farming until we know what the scientific studies might reveal?
That's one mechanism, or the other mechanism is have a precautionary principle with a greater distance, because obviously if you had a turbine that was here in Sydney, the people in Broken Hill aren't going to be affected by it.
Mm.
Now, that's a long way away.
But if there's no health effect of turbines, why don't they put them in Macquarie Street or Parramatta Road?
Yes, I've heard you say that before.
Is that a valid point?
There's a very large distance where there won't be a problem.
Yeah, sure.
Somewhere in between is where the threshold occurs.
Quite. I mean, you say, and I repeat, an applicant for a wind or a wind farm operator should be required to guarantee that there'll be no adverse noise effects, no offensive noise, no sleep disturbance, and no adverse health effects if the subject wind farm is to proceed. What, when you said that, what form did you think the guarantee should take?
Well, it was a matter of expressing it that it wouldn't cause a problem. So the community had confidence. If you had a guarantee, then the residents that have been affected at other wind farms would know that there would not be a problem.
What should be the punishment, though, if there is a breach of the guarantee?
Well, residents would say that it should not be operating. The first step they usually have is not operating at night.
Mm.
And that allows them to get some sleep. We recently had a study done in Waterloo in South Australia, and at the end of the testing, there was a cable outage for about a week. And the entire community that had been involved in this study of noise and had been educated to produce noise diaries found that there was a difference. And you may recall, I think you spoke to Mary Morris.
I did.
And her survey. Well, there's been another survey done since that study, and including the week shutdown, and it has some very interesting results, and it was only completed yesterday in relation to another matter going on in Victoria.
Mm. I don't know. I mean, what relief is there for these people? There seems to be none. What relief are these people right next to this MacArthur wind farm in Victoria? They're listening to you now. What relief? They write to Napthine. Napthine's the member. He's the Premier of Victoria. What relief? They're just dismissed as nuts.
Yes, that's the case. And when you spend time with these residents, it's very distressing.
Terrible.
And
I read the stuff. They write to me.
How can you help them is the question.
That's it.
But not all of them are affected, and this is the problem. You can be in households and have one member of the family being affected by it and others not, and they start wondering whether people are going mad.
Yeah, that's right. Good to talk to you. Stephen, thank you for your time. We'll keep battling away.
Thank you, Alan.
Okay. And Ian Macfarlane, Shadow Resources Minister, you're talking about a new way. There's the challenge. I've asked him to come on the program. All he has to do is introduce a bill immediately to do wind turbine health research, recommended by the Senate over 2 years ago as a priority. And Ian Macfarlane, if you're not going to do it, why aren't you going to do it? Is it because you're in bed with the wind industry? And over and above all of this, of course, we are now seeing the damaging consequences of this global warming hoax. Global warming, a consequence of coal-fired power, demonise coal-fired power, elevate to importance wind and solar energy, and this is what we get. There are massive concerns facing people out there, and I'm doing this simply because I say, well, it could be you or me or anybody. How would you like, by geography, to have to just face those circumstances every day of your life?
This podcast is brought to you by Hyundai's iSale. Great drive-away deals, plus a $1,000 factory bonus on selected models. Only at the Hyundai iSale. But hurry, the Hyundai iSale must end soon.